Wednesday, January 15th, 2025. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. It is now Wednesday. Hey, you're halfway to another weekend. We just got to push on a little bit further. I hope you, your family, and your friends are all staying strong and you're all staying healthy right now. And you know, I told you this was coming. I've been saying this is coming. I told you the pawn will need their due to be paid. And here we are. Little news to start off this week in college basketball that you might not have seen. Oh, but it could be very, very important. Tennessee head basketball coach Rick Barnes benched leading scorer Chaz Lanier during the second half last week of the Vols college basketball game against Texas. He is getting paid too much money through NIL and not doing what he's being paid to do. Hey, those aren't my words. That's what Rick Barnes said. Barnes held his star player accountable as if he was an employee of the university rather than just a student athlete. Hey, we all know. Name, image, likeness, that is the era that we are living in, right? Players sign financial agreements with a school's affiliated NIL collective, and then they are paid a sum of money over a defined period of time. Okay. Well, Lanier is in that situation. He's a 6'4", 200-pound guard. He spent his first 4 years at North Florida. Then he entered the portal as a graduate transfer during the offseason, and he chose to play in Tennessee. He chose Tennessee over BYU and Kentucky. Well, the Vols have been the number one team in the country. They're 15-1, and a big part of their success has been how Lanier is playing. Hey, Lanier was averaging 19 points a game, and Tennessee is paying him a good amount of money. They say no less than $100,000, and that's being pretty conservative. Well, in a tie game against Texas, Rick Barnes pulled Lanier because what? He was teaching him a lesson? No, because he's an employee. Hey, Barnes is a veteran. This is not a young guy making a bold move. Barnes has been around a while. He's been at Tennessee for 10 years. Well, just 11 seconds into the second half, Barnes drew up a play for Lanier to score, but Lanier did not shoot the ball. Barnes immediately pulled him and didn't put him back in the game. Hey, I've been saying this for a while. I've been saying, I know the athletes are kind of running things right now. I know they're acting like they have the presidents of these universities and their coaches over a barrel, and we can do whatever we want. You're going to pay us, and we're going to come, and we're going to go, and we're going to play when we want to. We're not going to play in the bowl game. I told you it's coming. The pendulum is beginning to swing back, and I'm going to say this. It's going to hurt. I know it's been fun for a while. I hope you've enjoyed the ride, but get ready, because you wanted to be employees. You wanted to be paid. You wanted all these benefits. There's one thing that rich people don't like. They don't like being conned. They don't like being lied to. And that kind of looks like what we're headed for. And when they experience that, guess who's going to pay? Ain't going to be the rich people. It's going to be the people fighting for that money. I'm telling you right now, it's just beginning. Hey, today on the Dose, we are going to be dissecting those NFL playoffs that went on over the weekend. Some interesting things over there. I don't know how good of games we had, maybe one. And then we're going to jump into that college football playoff as well. Hey, the national championship is set for this next Monday night. We're going to let you know who's going to be winning that game. And as we do so many weeks, we will have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you this week. I will warn you ahead of time. It is college football flavored, and it just might kind of shed some light on how that college football playoff has been going this year. I know there's been some complaining about it. Going to see if this whole college football playoff thing is just brand new. You'll see what I mean in just a few minutes. But first, we do have a story coming out in the NFL. and I found it very interesting, and I haven't really seen it covered all that much, but the NFL, it seems, is moving closer to replacing the chain gang with new technology. That is what an NFL executive told the Associated Press this last week. He said the league is testing Sony's Hawkeye technology during preseason games this next year. Now, they say the system wouldn't be ready for full implementation until at least next year, although it could happen sooner. But what they say is they are reaching a point where they could use laser technology.
It's a sophisticated heat beam, which we called a laser.
I know. To aid officials with first downs, sidelines, and end zones. Now, you might hear this and think, okay, this is just more stupid technology. It's just going to screw things up worse. Well, except that I hear it and I think something completely different. I hear it and think, yes, Virginia, there really is a Santa Claus, and he clearly listens to the Daily Dose Sports podcast, because every year I ask for the NFL to help these old officials out a little bit. And by the sound of this Sony Hawkeye technology they're rolling out, they say they are in an installation phase at every stadium. They are calibrating it, and it is going to be ready, possibly, as early as next year. Hey, help these old officials out. We're asking them to see things they can't see. We're asking them to judge things they can't see. We're asking them to judge intent. Are you kidding me? There's no way they can do all those things. Why don't we just use a little technology and help them out a little bit? Hey, it's coming. Don't say you didn't know, because it is heading this way, and we ask for it every year at Christmas. Hey, I'm telling you, Santa Claus really does listen to the Daily Dose. So let's jump into those NFL playoffs, where Wild Card Weekend kicked off this past Saturday. And in the first game, well, we got a pretty big surprise, because I think most people expected the Los Angeles Chargers to go into Houston and give the Texans a solid physical beating. Hey, Jim Harbaugh has transformed the Chargers from a team that beats themselves to a physical team that doesn't make those glaring mistakes. And then the Chargers went ahead and beat the devil out of themselves, and the Texans rolled to an easy 32-12 victory. And hey, don't look now, but Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert, I don't remember him ever wearing like a low-cut top or anything, but he's starting to look extremely busty to me.
Oh, I almost forgot. While I was at the courthouse, I had them change your name.
To what?
Chesty LaRue.
Hey, dude threw four interceptions on Saturday, and no, they weren't all his fault. But when does he make big plays to win games? Well, not very often. The Houston Texans move on. And you know, CJ Stroud, I didn't have much faith in him going into the game. He didn't even play that well. He was okay. But when you're playing on a short field, sure makes things easier. The Pittsburgh Steelers went to Baltimore on Saturday night on a four-game losing streak. Hey, historically, the Steelers don't lose five games in a row. Yeah. And then Derrick Henry arrived, and he slapped the terrible towels out of all the Steelers' hands, and then he slapped their defensive backs in the mouth like they had backsassed him. Henry rolled to 186 yards and two touchdowns, and Lamar Jackson was fine. He didn't really have to do that much. He passed for 175 yards. He ran for another 81. The Ravens just overpowered Pittsburgh, 28-14. And the Steelers, who started the season 8-2, lose five in a row and end the year with another thud. And now, what do you do with quarterback Russell Wilson? Yeah, he's cheap, but he also isn't very productive, and especially not productive in the big games down the stretch. The Ravens move on. The surprising Denver Broncos went to Buffalo to face the number two seed Buffalo Bills. And while rookie quarterback Bo Nix started the game strong, he looks like the franchise quarterback that the Broncos have been dying to get. Hey, the Bills are just too good. Quarterback Josh Allen passed for 272 yards. He had two touchdowns. And the bigger key for me with this Bills team is running back James Cook. He ran for 120 yards. He makes the Bills offense completely different. He takes a lot of pressure off of Josh Allen. The Bills rolled easily, 31-7. Okay, so now let's move forward. Now we get the Baltimore Ravens going to Buffalo to face the Bills. And this, to me, is the best matchup of the weekend. Because you have the big, strong, powerful Ravens against the quicker and more dangerous Bills. Hey, the Ravens are going to try to enforce their will. The Bills are going to try to dodge and counterpunch. And I can't wait for this game. Now, make no mistake, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry are going to be a pain. But I actually think the Bills' rush defense, I think it can hold up a little bit. So then we're going to see the constant question that we have every year at this time for Lamar Jackson. If the Bills keep him in the pocket, can he pick them apart? I'm not convinced. I think Buffalo plays Lamar far better than they did earlier in the season. I think they slow Henry down, and I think they scrape out a very tough win. I would say Bills advance. In the other game in the AFC this weekend, we get the Houston Texans, who did pull off that win in the wild card round over the Chargers. And quarterback C.J. Stroud, like I said, he looked okay. He looked better in the second half. He didn't look good at all in the first half, though. Well, the Texans can't afford a slow start this week against the top-seeded Kansas City Chiefs if they start slow. And you know what? They might get a good start. Because remember now, the Chiefs have basically been off for 3 weeks. So maybe Kansas City's a little rusty to begin with. Can the Texans jump on them early on the road? Honestly, I kind of doubt it. But either way, I think the Chiefs get on track. I think they overpower the Texans. And I think they move on to the AFC Championship. I have them facing the Buffalo Bills. Let's move over to the NFC. The Green Bay Packers went to Philadelphia hoping to upset the Eagles, who were just getting quarterback Jalen Hurts back from concussion protocol. Okay, hey, same thing. Jump on him early. Maybe Hurts will be rusty. Maybe you can get an early lead. Yeah. But then you knew the Packers might be in trouble when they fumbled the opening kickoff. And the Eagles just kind of plotted, just kind of out-physicaled them to a 22-10 win. Running back Saquon Barkley ran for 119 yards. He could have had more. And Packers head coach Matt LaFleur just got cute. He wanted to just be sneaky. Instead of just giving the ball to Josh Jacobs, who only had 18 carries, he had Jordan Love throwing the ball all over the place. Yeah, like Jordan Love is going to beat the Eagles on his own. Love threw 3 interceptions. He had 0 touchdowns. The Packers kept getting injured all day. Good game plan, cute Matt LaFleur. That was adorable. I think a few more Packers were, I don't know, injured in the postgame prayer. Hey, the Eagles are tough, and they just physically manhandled the Packers. Next game up, the Washington Commanders, and they just keep doing it. Rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels keeps making plays, and the defense does enough. And they go down to Tampa Bay, and we realize that the Buccaneers were probably at least a little bit fraudulent. And the Commanders steal a win against the Buccaneers 23-20 on a doinked field goal at the final gun. Hey, the Commanders aren't a great team. But after the past decade or 2 decades, whatever it was, of just being a total embarrassment in the league, Washington might be the best story in the NFL. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's absolutely true. Then on Monday night, the 14-2 Minnesota Vikings went to Arizona to face the Los Angeles Rams, who had to move the game to Arizona because of the fires in LA. So, I mean, the Rams should be disjointed. The Vikings should be on a mission after going 14-2 and then getting, what, the 5 seed? Having to go on the road? And so what happened? Well, Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold looked a lot like Jets quarterback Sam Darnold. He was sacked by a below-average Rams defense like, I don't know, 37 times. Rams quarterback Matt Stafford shredded the Vikings defense like a slow-cooked brisket.
Woohoo! Cheap meat!
Rams 27, Vikings 9. And the Vikings did what they do every single year without fail. They let everyone down. Now, here's something to think about. The Vikings are gone. The Packers are gone. Was that NFC North fake? Uh-oh. Well, we're going to see. So now we move forward to the divisional round in the NFC, where the surprising Washington Commanders go to Detroit to face the top-seeded Lions. Are the Lions going to be in some trouble here? Is that NFC North fake? No. No, they are not. I expect the Commanders to maybe score early and then get all excited. And then that Washington defense is probably going to give up like 30 plus points because that Lions offense is just a machine. Good luck stopping it. I don't think Washington is ready for this. Finally, we get to the final game, which will be in the NFC, which is the surprising number 4 seed Los Angeles Rams. I don't know how they're doing it. Remember how poorly they started off the season. They go to Philadelphia to face the Eagles. Hey, the Rams are gritty. They're gutty. They have a mission to play for with their home city burning to the ground. Matt Stafford is a veteran. He's a tough guy. Here's the problem. The Rams are soft up front on defense, and the Eagles' offensive line is going to chew them up. And on offense, Matt Stafford holds the ball way too long for an Eagles defensive front that can generate pressure without blitzing. They get to you with just 4 guys. Hey, good luck. I like the Eagles here. I'm not sure it's going to be close. I hope it's close. I hope we get some good games. Because, you know, the wild card round of the NFL playoffs wasn't very good. Aside from that one single game, Washington-Tampa, I don't know that it was a well-played game, but it was a close game. Other than that, we had a bunch of blowouts. I expect this weekend to be far better. I think we're going to get a few fun games because there are some very compelling matchups, mostly in the AFC, but I think we're going to get some better games. But hey, either way, in the NFL, we're now down to the Elite Eight. And by the end of this weekend, we're going to be down to 4. Let's move over to college football as the national championship game is now set. You know, we had what was probably the best game of the entire college football playoff in the Orange Bowl, where Notre Dame knocked off Penn State and advanced to the title game. The Irish forced 2 turnovers, including an interception thrown by Penn State quarterback Drew Aller with just 33 seconds left in the game on his own 42-yard line. Painful. He committed the cardinal sin for quarterbacks. He threw late, over the middle. Bad things happened. The Irish drove for a short field goal, and they took a 27-24 victory last Thursday in the Orange Bowl. Now, the Irish are 14-1. Remember, they were seeded 7 in this playoff. Well, they will have a chance to bring home the 12th title in their history and the first since 1988. With a win this Monday in Atlanta. Now, I know there's been a lot of attention given to Irish head coach Marcus Freeman, but I will tell you the biggest, most impressive thing Marcus Freeman has done. He has made the Notre Dame Fighting Irish the cool underdog story. They have never been cool. They have never been an underdog. And yet with Freeman, it kind of feels like they are. It kind of feels like more people are kind of, well, I'd be okay if Notre Dame won this week. I'd be okay if they won the title because Marcus Freeman, I kind of like him. Hey, I'll say this. If you're the Chicago Bears and you're not reaching out to Marcus Freeman, you're a collection of idiots. Never mind. We already know they're a collection of idiots. In the championship game, Notre Dame will be facing the Ohio State Buckeyes, who were in a dogfight in the Cotton Bowl last week against Texas. And then Texas pooped their pants and the Buckeyes blew the game wide open. Down 21-14 and driving for the game-tying score with just over 2 minutes to play, the Longhorns offense had 6 plays from inside the Buckeyes' 10-yard line. But on 4th and goal, Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers was sacked by Jack Sawyer, who also stripped the ball, recovered it, and returned it for a touchdown to blow the game open. Ohio State 28, Texas 14. And isn't it interesting that Michigan sparked the Buckeyes to this success? Hey, if we don't have a playoff, I really believe Ohio State might have fired head coach Ryan Day. Instead, they steady themselves, get a nice cushy path in the playoff, and they could be on their way to a title, thanks at least in part to the Maize and Blue. Okay, so who comes out on top in the title game this Monday night in Atlanta? Well, the Buckeyes are favored by 9.5, and with good reason. With that offense, and big play potential, the Buckeyes should cruise. In order for Notre Dame to hang in this game, they're going to have to run the ball. They're going to have to eat up some clock, limiting the time Ohio State gets the ball. But you know, that's exactly how Notre Dame is built. They need to run the ball. They run the ball. And then quarterback Riley Leonard, he'll have to make a few plays with his legs as well as his arm, and he can't turn it over. On the other side, Notre Dame has to stop the big play because the Buckeyes are just so explosive. They've got to force Ohio State to be patient and put together long, sustained drives. I'm not sure Notre Dame can do that. I will say Ohio State 34, Notre Dame 20. And then if that is the case, the Michigan Wolverines will claim a share of the title. However, I'll be blatantly honest. I will be rooting for Notre Dame in this game because I want Northern Illinois to claim a share of the title instead. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get to our Daily Dose top five. Five! Yes, this is the very first year of the 12-team college football playoff. And the reviews so far, well, they've been mixed, to say the least. We saw the top four seeds all get knocked out in their very first games. The final four consisted of the number five, the six, the seven, and the eight seeds. And of course, then there were the blowouts. The opening round especially was rough. Penn State beat SMU by 28. Ohio State beat Tennessee by 25. Texas beat Clemson by 14. Notre Dame beat Indiana by 10. In fact, after the first round, there were talking hairdos on the worldwide leader in sports stating how these blowouts were proof that the college football playoff is a bust. Let's just go back to four teams. This is a big waste of time. Well, first of all, they're not putting that toothpaste back in the tube. They're not going to give that TV contract money back. But are blowouts new in the college football playoff? Our Daily Dose Top 5 will show that it doesn't really matter how many teams are in the playoff. Blowouts can happen at any time. Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down the five biggest blowouts in college football playoff history. And a little hint, none of them took place this season. We start off at number 5. And we go back to the year 2019, where the college football playoff selected undefeated LSU as their top seed. Ohio State was 2, Clemson was 3, and Oklahoma got the number 4 seed. Well, Oklahoma was the only team to make the playoff in 2019 that didn't have an undefeated record. And their first round matchup against LSU made everyone wonder, how in the world did the Sooners get in? Because quarterback Joe Burrow showed why he won the Heisman Trophy. He had a nearly perfect Peach Bowl. He threw 7 touchdowns, passed for an amazing 493 yards, and the Tigers carved up Oklahoma by a final score of 63-28. Hey, the worst blowout that we saw this year in the 12-team playoff was 28 points. Our number 5 entry comes in today at 35 points. At number 4, we have a little bit of an exception to the rule because this one actually goes clear back to the BCS National Championship era. Now, for those of you who are too young to know about this era, let me explain it. Prior to the 4-team college football playoff that we just got rid of, we had the BCS era where the top 2 ranked teams were placed in a bowl to decide the championship. And if that sounds crazy to you, please remember that before that era, which ran from 98 to 2013, I think, teams would just get put in a random bowl. And the media and coaches would just vote for, I don't know, whoever. It was dumb. It was a big waste of time. Well, our number 4 entry is a perfect example. Following the 2004 college football season, the USC Trojans were undefeated and untied and clearly the best team in the country. The number 2 team, though, was not quite as simple. On one hand, you had the 12-0 Oklahoma Sooners. They were the Big 12 champs. On the other, you had the 12-0 Auburn Tigers, the SEC champs. Well, the voters went with Oklahoma, who were beaten like a drum by Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. How bad? Well, how's 55-19 sound? Now, should they have gone with Auburn? I mean, maybe, but Oklahoma actually had a stronger strength of schedule. Auburn probably just matched up a little better with USC. Maybe it would have been a better game. Either way, USC blowing out Oklahoma by 36 comes in today at number 4. Sorry, Oklahoma. I know you've already been on this list twice now. We move on to number 3. And when you get to these big games, I would think the worst thing that could probably happen, not just losing, but getting completely shut out. Well, that is exactly what happened here. We go back to the 2015 Cotton Bowl semifinal, in which the 12-1 Michigan Spartans faced the 12-1 Alabama Crimson Tide. The Spartans were led by quarterback Connor Cook and running back LJ Scott. Hey, Michigan State had beaten both Michigan and Ohio State that year, but they hadn't exactly faced a schedule like Alabama had. The Tide had monster running back Derrick Henry, that had a dominating defense, the likes of which Michigan State had no prayer against. Alabama held Michigan State to 239 total yards. They forced 2 turnovers and smacked the Spartans 38-0. They would end up going on to win the national championship over Clemson. But the 38-point Cotton Bowl blowout from 2015 comes in today at number 3. So we go back one more season to the very first year of the 4-team playoff. The University of Oregon and Florida State played the very first game in college football playoff history. They met in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day back in 2015. Florida State had quarterback Jameis Winston, and Florida State had been the number one team for a good portion of the season. They were 13-0. However, the playoff committee put FSU at number 3 in the playoff because they hadn't really played that strong of a schedule. That meant they would face the number 2, 12-1 Oregon Ducks with quarterback Marcus Mariota. Well, the game was pretty tight in the first 2 quarters. Oregon actually had a slim halftime lead at 18-13. The two teams traded touchdowns at the beginning of the 3rd quarter, and then Oregon took off and Florida State kept turning the ball over. FSU gave up 27 points in the 3rd and another 14 in the 4th. They were handed their very first loss of the season in brutal fashion. Oregon 59, Florida State 20. Oregon would go on to lose to Ohio State in the national title game. But that 39-point blowout was a pretty big surprise. It was a pretty big blowout. It comes in today at number 2. So we reach the biggest blowout in college football playoff history, and we go just back to 2022. That was the second to last season of the 4-team playoff. Undefeated Georgia was the number 1 team. Undefeated Michigan was the number 2 team. 1 loss Texas Christian was the number 3. And 1 loss Ohio State was the number 4 seed. Of course, TCU was the most unlikely member of that quartet. But then they beat Michigan 51-45 in the first round. Quarterback Max Duggan led the Horned Frogs into the title game against Georgia. Number 1 Bulldogs against number 3 TCU. And hey, we all thought Georgia would roll. They were a 13-point favorite. They had quarterback Stetson Bennett. They had tight end Brock Bowers. They had wide receiver Ladd McConkey. And they didn't have any trouble covering that spread. They pulled out to a 10-0 lead. And then TCU scored a touchdown to make it 10-7. And Georgia answered with 58 unanswered points. They hand the Horned Frogs the most embarrassing loss in college football playoff history. Georgia 65, TCU 7. Yes, kids, a 58-point blowout comes in today at number 1. Hey, I realize that the college football playoff, it wasn't great this season. There have been blowouts. And the format definitely needs to be tweaked. But you're talking about 20-year-old kids. Blowouts are going to happen. It isn't new. Oh, and by the way, we saw quite a few blowouts in the first round of the playoffs in the NFL, too. Should we have less NFL playoff games? Of course not. we shouldn't have less college football playoff games either. Sometimes these things just happen. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will be recapping the college football national championship game that will be taking place on Monday night. And of course, we'll keep you up to date on those NFL playoffs as well. We'll keep you up on anything else that might be going on in the world of sports as only we can. So make sure you check out The Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, remember, you should be stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week. See what new things we have going on over there. We have links to the podcast. We have links to the video. I put up new articles usually at least once a week. And we do have links to Daily Dose gear. Need a hoodie? Need a sweatshirt? Need a t-shirt? Stop by DailyDoseSports.com. You can get exactly what you need. And always remember, you can email the podcast at dailydoseports@gmail.com. We have heard from a number of listeners lately. It's always good to hear from you. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for those emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles. We absolutely love it when you do that. I'd say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Oh, I almost forgot. While I was at the courthouse, I had them change your name.
To what?
Chesty LaRue.